and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of Holy Communion. We welcome visitors in particular. All of you are most welcome. Our service begins on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Collect for St. Mary Magdalene. Almighty God, whose Son restored Mary Magdalene to the health of mind and body, and called her to be witness to his resurrection, forgive our sins and heal us by your grace, that we may serve you in the power of his risen life, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Love for Jesus leaves us no choice, says Paul. It takes us over completely and directs our every thought and deed, as if we are newly created. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. This is the word of the Lord.
Magdalene is remembered forever as the first person to see the risen Lord. How wonderful for her who loved him so much to hear him lovingly speak her name. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. It seems entirely appropriate this morning that I preface my remarks by reading to you again the first words from the Gospel passage this morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Had you attended a service here in St. Columba's about 50 years ago and arrived without your prayer book, it's probable that you would have been given a copy as you entered the church, one of these. At that time, the Book of Common Prayer was the only authorised book for use in parish churches and remained that way until prayer book revision commenced some years later. Today we continue to use the Book of Common Prayer, but now it contains what we call Service 1, the old service, and Service 2, which is the revised form used at most services here in St. Columba's. There's not a lot to distinguish this old prayer book, I'll call it 1970, from the old service contained in the present Book of Common Prayer. However, there are a few small differences, and one of them is evident today, the 22nd of July. Maybe some of you, whose memories go back many years like mine, will be able to spot the difference, but if not, let me tell you. We observe this day now as St. Mary Magdalene Day. 50 years ago, there was little or no mention of Mary Magdalene. Certainly, as far as this prayer book was concerned, there was no prayer, and there was no allowance made, if I put it in those ways, for her inclusion in the annual list of saints. She was, to use a term, swept under the carpet. And I gather that all started, and I could be open to correction, I realised this morning, in the presence of people who know much more about liturgy than I do, but I gather she was taken out of the prayer book during the revision in the time of Edward VI in 1552, and that's a very long time ago, and she only reappeared again at the very end of the 20th century. If you read the New Testament passages for today, and apart from the one you heard this morning, you'll find them in the Columban, you will see that in St. John 20 and St. Mark 15, Mary Magdalene is given a prominent place. Mary is a common and honourable name in the New Testament, but in today's case, the suffix Magdalene refers to her place of birth in the village of Magdala, some miles from Nazareth. She was described by St. Luke as being possessed by seven devils. Jesus cured her, and she became one of his devoted followers. It's recorded that she was present at the crucifixion at Calvary, and according to St. John's Gospel account, was one of the first witnesses of the resurrection. The Bible depicts Mary Magdalene, warts and all. She was no paragon of virtue, and yet a number of churches have been dedicated in her honour, including a parish church in Donegal Pass in Belfast. And by coincidence, if I just mention this as an aside, last evening when I had prepared for this service, I sat down to read the opening pages of a book which had been given to me some weeks ago. Its title, Waiting for the Last Bus, has absolutely nothing to do with public transport, David and others who know my interest in that area. But it opens with the following words. One of the finest medieval parish churches in England is located in the town of Newark and dedicated in honour of St. Mary Magdalene. Of course, Mary Magdalene wasn't the only biblical figure to display imperfections. Peter is respected as the leading figure in the early Christian church, described as the rock because of the sense of his commitment. And yet, we read that Jesus dismissed him on one occasion with the retort, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter's denial is recorded in full detail. Paul is considered to be the greatest and most influential figure in the first century, who has given us invaluable material in his biblical letters. And yet, Luke informs us that he was implicated in the killing by stoning of Stephen. We don't know the precise nature of Mary Magdalene's problems. Tradition suggests that she anointed the feet of Jesus, but the story describes her as a sinner. Some people speculate and say that she was maybe what we call a loose woman, a woman of the streets. The reference to seven devils could suggest that she had severe emotional problems or that she was morally defective and corrupt. One thing we cannot do, we cannot rewrite her life or undo the past, but simply base it on what we discover in the scriptures. One of the many things that compels us to take Jesus seriously is the fact that he didn't sit in judgment on others or dismiss them because of past failings. His words to Mary Magdalene proves that fact. "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." While we may not have the full picture, it's obvious that as a result of meeting Jesus, Mary Magdalene underwent a change for the better. Whether that change was one of health or of character, or perhaps of both. She must have been a woman of great courage and faith, for it took those characteristics and much more to stand at the foot of the cross and watch someone in excruciating pain, maybe liable to insult and abuse, apart from the stress and grief which she must have been feeling. Again, it must have taken courage to venture out in the darkness before dawn on the day we celebrate as Easter, not knowing what to expect. Mary Magdalene is representative of those who have been rescued from a tough and painful past. Unfortunately, not all who profess to uphold her name have displayed Christ-like actions in protecting and safeguarding vulnerable children and others in society who need assistance. One of the most disturbing films I've watched was entitled The Magdalene Sisters, first shown on screen in 2002. The central characters were four pregnant teenage girls who were sent to a Magdalene asylum where they had to endure dehumanizing abuse for many years as involuntary guests of uncompromising, severe nuns. The nuns, mistakenly I believe, thought that God's great ideal is achieved through punishment. The association with Mary Magdalene was unfortunate, as Mary Magdalene was changed and healed, not by punishment, but by love. And what was shocking was the fact that such treatment could be meted out in a religious institution. It was a gross perversion of truth that a sadistic, excessively muscular approach to perceived wrongs could be considered a Christian form of corrective action. All of us need guidance, support, and courage to correct what is amiss and supply what is lacking in our lives. Maybe Mary Magdalene serves to remind us to use an expression that there but for the grace of God go I. Her inclusion amongst the saints of the early Christian church should refute the suggestion, if there ever was one, that the saints of God have to be paragons of virtue without blemish. The society in which you and I live may cast a cold, critical eye on the place and the validity of faith and institutional religion today. It has exposed the hypocrisy which has discredited many of our churches and continues to do so. However, let's not forget that hypocrisy can be a two-edged sword, where the accuser and the accused can be jockeying for the moral high ground, and in doing so, adopt a holier-than-thou approach. Life holds many opportunities for service and devotion as disciples of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene responded to those opportunities. Our lives may be appreciably different, but the forgiving nature of God and his power to transform our lives, to encourage us to love and be loved, is as real now as it was when Jesus assured Mary Magdalene, "Your sins are forgiven. You are accepted. Be at peace." To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as his most just legion, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Today, as we celebrate the feast of Mary Magdalene, may we learn from her experience when, having met with you, you then sent her out to share the good news of your resurrection with others. We know that where you send us, you go ahead to meet us. We place ourselves into your hands to do your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. We pray today especially for the Episcopal Church in the Philippines. Renew the life of this diocese, remembering the parish of Kilkeel during their vacancy for rector. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, Ken, and Walter, and build us up in faith and love. Lord God, your people are made stronger when we rely on each other, share our strengths and weaknesses, and keep you at the centre of our lives. Thank you for the opportunities you have given us to draw closer to you. May we, through our thoughts, words, and actions, always demonstrate the fruits of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. Heavenly Father, from you all thoughts of truth, peace, and freedom proceed. Kindle in the hearts of all people a true desire for your peace. Guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth. Govern the hearts and minds of those divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin to be subject to your just and perfect rule. Destroy in us and in our nations the spirit of self-seeking, giving us instead the vision of reconciliation with all. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. Just as in the garden you called Mary by name and she recognised you, we remember that you know each of us by name. You hold us in the palm of your hand and have a purpose and plan for every one of us. Grant us a vision to see what we can achieve, to reach out beyond ourselves, to share our lives with others, to stretch our capabilities and increase our sense of purpose, to be aware of where we can help, to be sensitive to your presence, and to give heed to your constant call. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need and deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. Living God, source of light and life, we come before you as broken members of your body. Grant us your love through our pain and your peace in our hearts. You look at everyone with understanding and approach them with your arms outstretched, showing them they are truly loved. And in a moment's silence, we pray for all on our parish prayer list, those listening at home, those who have asked for our prayers, and those affected by the tragedy in Missouri. Come to all who are in pain and distress, heal those who hurt, comfort those who mourn, and pour into all hearts the gentle balm of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit, in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole lives to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Turning to page 216, we use the third Eucharistic prayer. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, He made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We be many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Let us pray. A moment of silence. Having received Holy Communion, each one of us with our own individual worries and concerns and anxieties at this time, we pray that the spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ, will enter into all those issues and offer strength and encouragement for the days ahead. We pray in particular for those whose earthly life is drawing to a close, especially for Trevor, as God is calling him into his nearer presence. We pray for all of his family, for those who have his care at this time, for strength and for peace. Lord, in your mercy. God of life and love, whose risen Son called Mary Magdalene by name and sent her to tell of his resurrection to his apostles, in your mercy, help us, who have been united with him in this Eucharist, to proclaim the good news that he is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. It's a particular delight today, personally, and here in St. Columba's, from all of us in the rectory, to convey our belated congratulations to Canon Ken Smith as he marked the 50th anniversary of his ordination to the diaconate a few weeks ago. It was wonderful, Canon Smith. I sense there's going to be a PS to what I'm about to say. It was wonderful that you were surrounded by your family on that day. And while we were so sorry from the rectory family to be in absentia, we were very much with you in our prayerful thoughts and reflections on that day. I telephoned you from the top of a mountain in Mallorca, where I had a substitute congregation, and Caroline has photographed it. We climbed up a large mountain, Pig de Maria it is called, before 9 a.m. And there we were having coffee, and my congregation was a few hens. And Caroline photographed the moment when I was trying to keep the hens under control as we telephoned you to convey our very good wishes. And it was delightful that your entire family were here in St. Columba's, and your son, the Reverend Peter Smith, was with you robed in the sanctuary. And to all who assisted with all the celebrations on that day, from all of us in the rectory, we simply say thank you very much indeed. And I'm so pleased you had a wonderful day of celebration and days that followed as well. One word.
I know which side my bread is buttered on. But...
That's so, 5 words.
So I really want to express my appreciation to the rector in particular. There were no hens here, I can assure you, the day of that service. I thank God for the fact that I've got to this particular stage, but I thank God also for the care and the support and the encouragement that I receive on an ongoing basis from the rector and indeed from his wife and family. It has encouraged Jenny greatly. For us, personally, it was a wonderful few weeks. All the family is now gone, and Jenny has gone on her own private retreat up to Ballycastle, where I join her tomorrow. But I want to thank you in particular. You weren't here on the day, and I didn't have that opportunity. I'm deeply appreciative of all that you did. We wanted something quiet. I particularly wanted something quiet with the people I've grown to know and to respect here in St. Columbus, and that wish was met. Thank you for all you've done and for what you continue to do.
Thank you indeed. I'm also pleased to report, Kenneth Smith, the following your announcement last Sunday, while I have been around incognito this past week, there was not one telephone call and not one ring of the doorbell. So well done. And you are about to resume that, I know, in a few days' time, and your pastoral care of the rectory family is terrific, and thank you for that. Henry is now returned from Nairobi. He was, as you know, there for 2 weeks with an organisation called Jengana, working in the slums and doing street feeding programmes. He is back safely, and there will be an opportunity in weeks to come for Henry to share his experiences, and simply just on behalf of us in the rectory to say thank you to everyone in St. Columbus for the prayerful and the financial support that enabled Henry to go, and all the money raised in St. Columbus went to the projects he was working in, which were the poorest of the poor in the slums. And that money has made a huge difference, and more about that in due course. You see in the Pew News that Paws are meeting on Tuesday at Neil's Hill in Ballyhackamore, 10:30. I'll be there. Hopefully you can come along to enjoy the conversation and catching up one with another. Especially during these weeks, there are lots of people who are coming and going with holidays. Good to touch base. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, hymn number 647. in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.